Good afternoon and happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to see everyone. At the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, the wise King Solomon wrote this famous line, this famous phrase in Scripture we've heard many times before. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. After everything Solomon experienced in his life, this is what he concluded that man should do to live a most fulfilled life. And we know what it means to keep God's commandments, but what does it mean to truly fear God? That's the topic I'd like to talk about today. What does it mean to truly fear God, and why is that fear critical for a relationship with God? Now, the concept of fearing God was difficult for me when I was a little younger. It seemed a little weird, didn't make sense to me. Why would we want to fear someone like God, who's supposed to be so loving, our most loving God? Why would we fear that being in the universe? But later it was explained to me that word fear doesn't always mean to be afraid, but means more than that. In the Bible, specifically the Old Testament, the many scriptures referring to the fear of God use one particular word, a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is yare. Strong's number H3372 for your own, to double-check that later if you'd like. It can be defined in many ways. To fear, to be afraid, to be dreadful, terrify, but also to revere, stand in awe, honor, respect, or to cause astonishment. When we think of the fear of God, we typically view that fear from that perspective, the perspective of that sense of awe or reverence or respect. But looking throughout the scriptures, though, it would be unwise and limiting to think of godly fears or describing it with just one word or just one emotion. We'll see in examples that true godly fear isn't only a sense of awe or reverence alone, but is also the combined emotion as well as our basic emotional fear along with that. Now, you might think that fear has no place in a relationship with God. You might think it's just, with a loving God, there shouldn't be any fear. And you might think of the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And that is true. We should not live in fear. We shouldn't fear the things in this world, the people that can do harm to us. We will only fear one thing, and that is God himself. Jesus said it very clearly in Matthew 10, verse 28. Don't turn there. Let me just read it to you. "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So don't fear man. Don't fear things in this world. We only should fear God. And it makes sense when you think about it, because if there's anything else that you fear more than God, then that just shows that you really don't understand what God is or what his true nature, or you don't understand how magnificent of a being he really is. Like in Hebrews 12:29 says, he is a God, he is a consuming fire. The only force in the universe that commands our highest respect and fear. So it's that fear, along with the reverence and respect and honor, that makes up true godly fear, and I hope you see that. So why do we need to fear God? What place does it have in our lives today? One might conclude that, most overall, all we need to do is love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. Where in that is there room for fear? Does fear still have a purpose in our relationship with him? Well, I have 3 points today on why godly fear is crucial for a relationship with God. Point number one, it's important to fear God because it's essential at the basic level for obedience and for avoiding sin. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to look at the example of Israel when they met God, when they received the law, received the Ten Commandments. Verse 18 of chapter 20, "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes." So this is God coming down the mountain, and a smoke, and there's lightning flashing everywhere, and it's a terrible sight. The sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking, when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. They were scared. They were terrified. The presence of God right there in their sight. Verse 19, then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." Again, they were shaking. They were afraid. They wanted to run out of there. You know, in the presence of God, they were terrified, and we can't blame them. You know, Hebrews 10:31 says that it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It's a natural response to be in his presence. Continuing on, though, verse 20, and Moses said to the people, "Do not fear." Is he talking about do not fear God? No, he's talking about do not fear the physical things that they're witnessing, like the lightning, the thunder, the physical things that they're afraid of. For God has come to test you, and that his fear, and both these fears, again, is that Hebrew word, yare. So his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood off afar off, but Moses drew near in the thick darkness before where God was. So God wasn't doing this just to intimidate the people. The fear had a purpose. The fear was to prevent his people from sinning. Proverbs 16:6 says this as well, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided in iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So from these examples, it's clear how fear is important and powerful too. But obviously, fear shouldn't be our only motivation from avoiding sin. Obviously, it's a starting point. That's what I mean by that. As New Covenant Christians with God's Spirit in us, we ultimately should obey out of love, but a love that has to be grounded first in godly fear. Let me move on to point number two now. Point number two, it's important to fear God because it helps inspire us to give God what he deserves. Helps inspire us to give back to God what he deserves. What do I mean by that? What does God deserve from us? He deserves our worship, our attention, our time, our thoughts, our tithes, our very lives being living sacrifices. Let's turn to another example. Genesis chapter 28. This is an example of Jacob. Genesis chapter 28. This is where in Jacob he was sent off to find a wife. Let's break in the account in verse 10. And the purpose of this passage to see how the fear in God worked in his life, and we can see what action it inspired. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Now, this is a large chunk of scripture. I might summarize some of this for the sake of time. So Jacob was in the wilderness, and he found a large rock, and he slept on. In verse 12, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. And its top reached into heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And you and your seed, all the families of there shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid, that same word there, that same fear of God word, afraid, and said, and he said, "How awesome is this place." Now, depending how you translate that phrase there, if it was the Old Testament, or Old King James, I mean, they translated it saying, "How terrifying is this place?" So you really have to see the context to know how to translate that word. And I think the New Testament does a better job here. He was in awe of what he experienced. He said, "How awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Now, in his awe and sort of respect and this astonishment he's in, this fear of God, let's watch what it led him to do next. So verse 18, then Jacob rose early in the morning and took that stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the stone of Scoon, if you've been in Scotland, and he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow. So one of the first things it compelled him to do. He made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord should be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. This is a great example of the power of the fear of God in someone's life. It compelled him to action. It's a reaction that made him worship God. It changed his goals in his life. He made a vision of a future of keeping that relationship with God, of keeping that covenant that his father Abraham started. And it was critical. That fear of God was critical in his life from there on forward. So very important to have this fear of God, to have a proper relationship with God. Let's move to my third point. Third point on why it's crucial to fear God is this. The fear of God is important for learning humility and wisdom. If you are in a state of fear, true godly fear, pride, cannot exist there. And we become more teachable. We become more pliable in God's hands, more like little children. And we are more able to understand God's knowledge and God's wisdom. To see this connection between fear of God, look no further than the book of Proverbs. There's so many scriptures in the book of Proverbs. We don't have time to turn there. I'm just going to read a bunch of them right now, about four different verses. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1, verse 29. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. It should be clear, this connection of fear and humility. It's just rich in the scriptures. And without this firm foundation, we cannot grow in knowledge, and we can't build character. When you fear God, you realize how small you really are, and you realize that we don't have all the answers. And from that place, God's Spirit can really do a work in us. So how do we develop and cultivate this fear of God in our lives? Meditation. Meditation is powerful. Since we don't live in Bible times where we're able to see God's works, we have to do other things in life. Meditation is one we can do in our private lives. Meditating on God's power and glory. Look around at his creation. Think of the mind it takes to create all these things, and meditate on how he alone is in control and handles our ultimate fate. There's a quote I think of. I forgot who said it, but it goes like this. If you have a big God, you'll have small problems. If you have big problems, then you have a small God. The proper fear of God makes sure your God stays big. So we might not see God in the sense of thunder and lightning, but we do see him in the work of our lives through other ways, through miracles. And that's something else to meditate on. Meditate on those moments where you're struck by a potent burst of godly fear, brought on by maybe surviving a trial that you were struggling through, witnessing a miracle, or any events where you realize that, wow, God is really working in my life here. He's really intimate in the workings of what I'm doing. And in those moments, the fear of God is greatly stirred up. And you need to really capture what those feelings are and keep it in your mind. Some practical things are, maybe thinking about those moments might be a good idea to write some of those moments down. So you have a book of remembrance of the times in your life God worked miracles and how God was in your life. So you can go back and read those and be reminded, and to stay humble and to sort of relive that fear of God that you first experienced. So in conclusion, it may seem like a contradiction to love God but to also fear him. But through the examples we looked at today, it should be fairly clear how connected fear and love really are, and that it's that combination of the awe, the reverence, and the emotional fear of how powerful he really is, and how that fear of God is important, encouraging us to obey God, to flee from sin, to help us inspire to act, to worship, and all while helping us maintain humility. So godly fear is the foundation for godly love. It's what godly love is built upon. And without a strong godly fear, that foundation will crumble. So let us strive to fulfill man's all, like Solomon said, by continuing to keep God's commandments and to fear God.